Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. Running a highly profitable contracting business has two sides of the coin. You need the profitability skill sets, obviously, so like budgeting, job costing, pricing strategies, accounting best practices, and so on. And we've discussed these plenty on the show before. But the other thing you need is the profitability mindset. This has very little to do with spreadsheets and bookkeeping and everything to do with your attitude towards money, your belief systems and self-worth, and your ability to practice what our guest today calls wealth attraction. Brian Kaskavalsian, also known as the Wealthy Contractor, is back on the show for the second time to talk about why so many contractors operate with a broken profit model and how to fix it, how to use the four number exercise to clarify your why and 10x your wealth attraction. And we also walk through the steps required to regain control of your mental chatter and develop the sense of deserving that so many contractors are missing. By the way, if you want to download a handout to guide you through this four numbers exercise we talk about in the episode, you can do that using the link in the description. But without further ado, let's dive in with Brian.
You're listening to Contractor Evolution, where we unpack the systems, tactics, and skills you need to take your fast-growing contracting business to the next level.
If you're here to learn what it takes to scale up, work less, and increase profitability, you've come to the right place.
Stay tuned to learn what separates the new breed of contractor from the old school, and welcome to your ultimate guide on the business of contracting.
Brian Kaskavalsian, welcome back to the podcast. You're a friend of the show now. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Benji. I'm great.
You have the hardest to spell last name of anyone I've ever met. Just for some levity here at the beginning, what kind of limitations have you had in your life with such a difficult last name? Is filling out forms more difficult? Do people send emails to the wrong address? Like, tell me about this.
Well, you should see, we used to collect at home, we used to collect mail and all of the different variations of our last name. Right. You want to hear something funny? You know Dan Kennedy, right? Yeah. This is my mentor. We're in a meeting once, and he's like, "Man, your last name is so hard." He goes, "We got to change it to something else," and they came up with Castle, Brian Castle, and I said, "No, I'll stick with Kaskavalsian." You know, most people, the hardest thing is them pronouncing it right, and you got it perfect.
Yeah. Well, I've read it and written it enough times that I think I should be getting good at it by now. I finally learned it after swapping emails with you for a number of years, but people on my team are just like, "This is like, I can't do this. Can you email for me?
What is this?
You email for me."
Well, you want a little factoid about my name?
Yeah. What is it?
It's okay. So it's Armenian. So generally, if you see an IAN or a YAN on a last name, in almost every case, it's going to be Armenian. But there are only six of us in the world.
Okay. That's a cool little factoid, a rare breed.
Yep. Only six.
Noted in my useful information folder in my brain when I see a YAN in the future, I'll know.
Oh, there you go.
I'll know to go say, "Hey, do you know Brian?" Dude, so let's catch up here for a second. It's been a minute since you've been on the show. You've been up to some new stuff, which I think is really interesting. Yeah. You're doing these profitability workshops, and I wonder if you just maybe talk a little bit about like what you guys are up to, why you're doing them, what's the fundamental problem you're trying to solve with these?
Okay, so I'm going to give you the quick version of that story. So there was a survey that was put out a few years back, and it asked contractors how much money they made. 41% of respondents said 3% net profit before taxes. Mm-hmm. Okay, 3% or less. 41%. And so that's horrible. Yeah. That's I think contractors are like the most important people in a community, because they are the people that go into homes and they rebuild homes for people. They make, you know, they redo kitchens, they redo bathrooms, they make a place livable. And yet so many of them aren't making money. Well, why aren't they making money? And there's a whole bunch of reasons why they aren't making money. And so for years, we've talked about this, be in business to make money. Don't lose sight of the fact that your business exists to fund your lifestyle. That's it. It's there to fund your lifestyle. What you do with your money after, you know, you fund your lifestyle and you take care of your family and all of that. You want to take care of your community. You want to give money away. You want to hire more people. Great. But your business needs to be profitable. So a friend of mine, Mark Curry, I think explains profitability as good as anybody in our industry. And so a few years back, I had him come and speak at our big annual event, Accelerate Live. And he killed it, absolutely killed it. And I was getting like emails for months. Hey, would you introduce me to Mark? I got questions about my profitability and this and that. And Mark's a busy guy. He runs a big company. And so I went to him and I said, hey, Mark, I said, nobody in this industry is teaching people how to be profitable, how to make money, and how to take that money out of their business and go build wealth outside of their business. I said, why don't we put on an event for 2 days and we'll go through all of the fundamentals of profitability. Here's the fundamentals. Here's how you make money in this business. And he agreed to that. Now, the caveat also to that was I told him that, look, we can't do a profit workshop without also talking about wealth attraction. Because I think one of the reasons why so many people aren't making the kind of money they aspire to is because they got stuff going on between their ears that is preventing them from getting where they want to be. Mm-hmm. And so we started doing these in 2021. We've done this next, our next one is in 2 weeks.
Cool.
It's going to be the last one in this format. It'll be our fourth one. And we've got, you know, dozens of companies coming from around the country to learn about the fundamentals of profitability and wealth attraction.
You know, just a couple of comments here before my next question. Yeah. What you said about nobody is talking about this is very interesting. And I'll just share a little insight here that sort of validates that, that backs that up. You're a marketer, as am I. I use tools like SEMrush and vidIQ, and I look at search traffic. I see like we need to make content that hopefully people are looking for. The amount of searches for sales, maximizing revenue, growing top line, et cetera, is orders of magnitude. And I'm not talking like two times, three times. I would say 10 to 50 to 100 times more people are looking for like what I consider these vanity metrics. And like almost nobody is looking for like, how do I budget effectively in my contracting business? What is a healthy net profit for a roofing business? Like that's like the search traffic. It's, I mean, it's still there, but compared to the sales stuff, the top line stuff, like it's a trickle.
Yeah.
So it just a little empirical data to back up that insight. It's been my observation as well. A question for you, Brian, is like, why do you think so many business owners have a broken profit model in the first place? Because people are coming to these things in droves. Like, obviously, you're striking a nerve. What's going on there?
Nobody taught us how to make money in this business. Mm. Look, people come into this business generally from one of two places, from the sales side or from the install side. Right. The sales that now most of the people that build really big companies, I hate to say it, come from the sales side. And what are they focused on? Sell, sell, sell.
Yep.
Let's sell. Let's build sales teams. Let's grow. Let's just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's where their focus is. That's where their focus is. And then they'll go and they'll say, okay, you know, the profitability becomes like a secondary thing. Well, if we sell enough,
yeah,
hopefully we're bound to make some money.
Hopefully we can keep some. Yeah, that's basically the strategy.
Exactly. Yeah, and if we're not making enough money, that means we're not selling enough. And that attitude gets a lot of people in trouble. Mm-hmm. I was one of those, by the way. You know, I just thought, well, if we just get bigger, we're going to get rich.
Right.
I went the other way. I went broke.
So it gets worse.
Yeah, it gets worse if your model is broken.
Mm-hmm. So
if your model is broken. And the other thing is like, what's important to you? Is top line sales important to you? Like, do you want to go and beat your chest at events and say, oh, well, I did 20 million last year. I did 10 million last year. Or, Are you focused on getting rich from your business? Are you using your business to make, give your family the life that they deserve, to set up your future so that you don't have to work as hard in the future as you do today?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that is so, you and I are very, very aligned on. If you go to our website and you look at the stats that we post, we talk a little bit about growth, but the thing that we really do our brand building around is increases to net profit that we deliver for our clients and the time that we save them in their businesses. So here's a just maybe a timely question with what's going on in the world today. The market appears to be tightening, and I think certainly up here in Canada more than the US, people are feeling that, although they're feeling it south of the border too. As that begins to happen, it's just a very logical next step for, I think, a lot of people to feel pressure to start discounting their prices. What would your advice be for someone who's kind of feeling the pressure to stay competitive? I'll trim off 10% here, 15% there. You know, does that give them an edge, or is that just like altogether a bad idea?
It's a bad idea. It depends. So you can use. You use discounting strategically to sell a job. And this goes back to profit and understanding your numbers. If you don't understand, and this gets a lot of people in trouble, discounting and its ugly stepsister, let's say, which is financing. Because financing a job, which everybody should be doing, is a discount because you're paying fees.
Correct.
And so people don't account for the discounts, the finance fees. And what happens is they go under their, what should be their, let's, for lack of a better way of saying it, their par price.
Right.
So in order for us to hit our gross margin, the gross margin we need in order to be at the profit level where we want to be and what we teach is 15 to 20%. So in order for us to be at this level of profit, our gross margin needs to be here. Now you can discount down to it. But what happens is a lot of people don't understand exactly how those numbers work. Right. And then they'll discount under it.
Right.
The worst, so another thing, part of this that's really bad is they let their salespeople get away with it. So their salespeople sell under, again, lack of a better word, par. But then the salesperson is still getting their commission on the full amount, not on a discounted amount.
Right. So this is a double whammy in a case like that.
Oh, yeah.
You're really, really taking a bath on those jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so not a good idea. It can be done strategically, sort of in a good, better, best fashion or something if you know your numbers and you know the threshold not to go below. But you're making the case
that
if fully 41% of business owners are making 3% net or less, it's safe to say that there's some pretty big knowledge gaps where this is concerned. And probably in most cases, they really don't know their numbers. So I want to set up the rest of the conversation this way, guys. We've got two sides to profitability. And I think Brian frames this really well. We were talking offline. There's like the skill set side, which is, okay, understanding bookkeeping and accounting practices, understanding annual budgeting, understanding gross margin and where that ought to be, you know, learning how to be really mindful with what you spend money on, how you spend money on materials, on labor. There are systems and tactics, and we have covered a lot on that on the show. I'm just going to put some stuff on screen here. Episode 14, episode 18, episode 73, episode 76, 82, 86, and the list goes on. Those are, if you want to go deep on the skill set side of stuff, you can. Today's a unique opportunity to have Brian on and talk about the mindset side of the coin, which is just as important, if not more important. And so that's kind of how we're going to, that's how we're going to pick this apart today. Now, before I do need to mention who this episode is sponsored by. It is sponsored by Beyond Landscaping. This is owned by Corey Brewer. They do gardening and snow contracts, landscape construction. They operate in North and West Vancouver. They've been a Breakthrough Academy member for 5+ years. And I asked him a few questions here. In that time, how much has your business grown? He says, I've gone from 450K to over 3 million. It's helped me hire my first office employee and helped me through my worst lows and my highest highs. And then I asked him the biggest takeaway from BTA. He said, BTA exposed me to an incredible support network of smart entrepreneurs from whom I have learned just as much as I did from the amazing systems Breakthrough Academy helped me implement. Shout out to Coach Mike Este for his unbelievable support. Corey, thanks for the outfit. Thanks for the awesome work you've done. Congrats on all the growth. I love the shirt and love the hat. They just did a rebrand. I think it looks really nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's cool. I
was wondering what that was when you came on. I'm like, Beyond. I thought you were Breakthrough Academy, but now it makes sense.
Dude, I got to rep the stuff. We got a big tribe here. I wear a different member's outfit every single episode. We have
that's awesome.
650 clients. So I've
oh my god, I've got a hat sitting on my desk. Yeah. From one of our Success Society members. I love their hat, the branding of the hat. So
it's fun.
Please send me one.
And the joke is, we're approaching episode 200 here. After a while, I just sort of look to my team and I'm like, guys, I'm running out of t-shirts. Like, I'm tired of shopping every Sunday. There's got to be a solution here. So anyway, this is a good one. Thank you, Corey. I have questions, as you know, Brian, but just like, let's start high level. Let's start sort of philosophical, like wealth attraction. Like what does that mean broadly speaking? Before we get into the specifics and the tactics, let's just define this and start there.
To me, it all starts, all of it starts with understanding what you want. Mm-hmm. What do you want from life? And that's a big question. And what I always say is, let's start with money. Because that's easy. You know, we could figure out where we want to live. You know, if I ask people all the time, you know, if you could live anywhere, where would you want to live in your community? Is there a particular neighborhood? Everybody's got that neighborhood that they've got their eye on. You know, I want to live in this neighborhood. Great. What kind of cars do you want to drive? What do you want to do for fun? Do you want to send your kids to private school or are they going to regular school? Do they have extracurricular activities? Basically, what is your ideal lifestyle? What does it look like? And then go shopping. Now, I don't mean go and actually spend the money. I mean, do it on paper. Mm. Go shopping. Figure out what is my ideal lifestyle going to cost me? And then now we've got a number to work with. And there's three other numbers. I have this exercise I call the four numbers exercise.
Yeah, I've seen this. This is like the four numbers exercise.
Yeah, because it changed my life because I always had this goal of I want to make this, and the number doesn't matter. You know, it could be any number. The strategies are the same. But I had this goal I wanted to hit, but I'd only ever been able to get to about a quarter of the way there. And what was always missing for me was why? Well, why do I want to make that much money? Well, how is that going to change my life? What am I going to be able to do that I can't do now? What am I going to have that I don't have now? And so I think it all starts with realistically coming up with, well, what does it look like for me to live my best life? And so once we come up with a number, and more than likely that, and let's use a number, come up with a number.
Let's just say,
for example's sake.
Like for like in earnings.
An income number, yeah.
Let's say $500,000 a year.
Okay, I want to make $500,000 a year. Yep. Great. So we might break that up and say, okay. So depending on a person's age and their, you know, how quickly they want to get to financial freedom, which is a whole nother topic. But let's just say it breaks out as $250,000 in lifestyle, $20,000 a month. We want to put $100,000 away in our future wealth to grow assets outside of the business, or if we have to invest back into the business. So that's $350,000. You're going to pay at least $100,000 in taxes on that. So that puts us at $450,000. And then say we want to do $50,000 in charity. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we've got our 500, the 250, how we're going to spend it. And so once we get that why, now we can start to build a business around the why.
What are the, you know? Hold on, before we, let me back up. What are the actual four numbers, the four quadrants? Like, let's just title them because, and we're, by the way, we're also going to give, Brian's given us a little download here. I just want to frame this up the right way. So it was lifestyle, taxes.
Future wealth.
Lifestyle, future wealth.
Future wealth, giving.
Giving.
And then taxes and liabilities.
Got it. So when somebody's doing the
paying back debt,
when somebody's doing the brain dump or they're kind of like just like rough drafting this, those are the four quadrants that they should be thinking about.
And if you want, we can offer them the exercise where I walk them through and there's worksheets and all of that. But let's just say, just get a piece of paper and do four quadrants. Okay. Now, once you have that number, it's probably a lot higher than where you are now.
Right.
And it's probably a lot more than what your business is making, which now creates a problem. It creates resistance. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh my God, how the hell am I going to do that? Generally, that's the first place people will go to. How? Worst question you can ask yourself, by the way. But that's where people will go. And then all of a sudden now, all of the reasons for why they can't get there will come up. And that's the battle. That's the battle, is how do you get past that? Because when I did this myself, so for me is because I say it all the time, I'm a slow learner. I mean, I didn't get rich until I was like almost 50. You know, I wanted to be rich at 30. I went broke at 40 trying to figure this stuff out, you know? And so that's the hard part is working on that resistance that's going to come up. And, oh, so for me, sorry, I got sidetracked there. But for me, you know, I had that goal and I never had the why behind it. How am I going to spend the money? But once I did, and once I understood, here's where all that money is going to go, and here's the difference it's going to make in my life and in my family's life. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, I like this. Then I committed to it. And I was older. I was in my 40s, you know? So I'm like, this is it. This is it. Hell or high water, I am making this happen.
So I really want to make sure that we slow down and make this point really clearly, because the way that I understand this, Brian, and I love this whole exercise, is really what this is about fundamentally is deepening the hunger and making the why a little bit more concrete.
Yeah,
I say 500. I said 500K because you asked for a number and we're doing a little theoretical, like a little exercise here. But if you were to go and ask most contractors at a conference, what's your dream state? They might say something similar. And then when you ask them why, they will, because they feel embarrassed, come up with something. They'll string together a sentence or two to give you an answer. But if we're being honest, we know that for most of them, it's like, it's just a nice round number. I actually have no idea what I would do with 500 grand if I made it. Not a clue.
Yeah.
And so the point of going through this four numbers. So
then you don't need it.
Right. The point of going through this four numbers exercise is you sort of concretize the stuff that you want and will go do. And this goes from a nice round number, very vague, very blurry, not super meaningful, to an itemized list and quite a detailed vision of what I would actually do were I to get there. Or should I say when I get there?
Yeah, when I get there, I'm going to live in this house. I'm going to drive this car. I'm going to be able to take my family on a vacation. I'm going to sit in the front of the plane, not the back of the plane. I'm going to be able to go to a Ritz-Carlton, not to a Best Western.
Yeah.
You know, and it's whatever gets you excited. And everybody's different. Everybody's got a different number.
You said that how is the worst question to ask. I want to ask about that. Why is that a dumb way to frame this? Because that's where my mind would go too.
Oh yeah, mine too. And it's the worst thing. When you try and figure out all the hows, it's impossible. I couldn't, you know, Steve Jobs, I've been using this quote a lot lately. Steve Jobs has this amazing quote where, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's basically, you can never connect the dots going forward. You're going to only connect them going backwards. Right. And so when you essentially put it out there that this is now who I am or who I'm becoming, you have to find that belief inside of you. You have to find, and he says, you know, you can get it from, what does he say? God, karma, the universe, you know, whatever. It's got to come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. But you can't connect the dots going forward. Now, what you can do is you could say, okay, what does my business need to look like in order for me to get there? And this is where profit model comes in. So if you want to make $500,000 a year, and let's say you're on a 15% model, you take the 500, you times it by 6.7, and that gives you $3.3 million. And so now at $3.3 million, now it's figuring out, okay, well, how many jobs is that a year? So if your average job is 10,000, now you need 333 jobs closed by the end of the year. And in order to sell 333 jobs, now I need this and I need that and I need this. And that's where some of the skill set comes in. And then it's a matter of like bridging the gap between this and this.
Well, that's what I want to ask you about. That's what I want, the bridging the gap part, because like I do, by the way, I can get pretty woo woo with the stuff that I follow and read. And I do believe in the law of attraction, but I don't think that it is as simple as coming up with a number and coming up with four exercises and then just sort of like wiping your hands clean there. We do need to this down. Hold we on. Do need to that's, operationalize this. So maybe you're going to talk about that.
No, that's where the work really starts now.
Okay.
Because you have to become the person that earns $500,000 a year. You have to become the leader now of this $3.5 million company. And so now you have to go and you have to look for resources. You have to put it out there. So now you go to Benji at Breakthrough Academy. You come to one of Wealthy Contractor events. You go talk to other successful contractors. You surround yourself with people that are moving up and moving forward. And you know as well as I do, I mean, you guys teach this stuff. You have a whole curriculum. Here, this is how you set up a production department. Totally. Here's how you hire a production manager. Here's all of that stuff. You're not, too many people think that they have to reinvent the wheel in business. It's already been invented. The models are already out there. What you have to do, what your job now becomes is to become that leader, mm-hmm. to become that person. And so you know as well as I do, in order to get past a million, well, now the number's a little bit higher. Let's call it 1.5 million. You know, it used to be about 1 million, 1.1 million. But in order for an owner to get their business past about 1.5 million, 1.3 million, 1.5 million in revenue, what do they have to do? They have to stop selling. Mm. Okay. So now I just made a goal. Or I did my four numbers exercise. I want to make $500,000 a year. Now I have to do $3.3 million a year. I do $1 million a year now. I sell everything. Nobody can sell like I can. I don't know how I would hire a salesperson to do what I do. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, now that's it. You're done. You're finished.
That's your ceiling. Because, you've just decided.
Because that's the resistance. Yeah. That's the resistance. And so now your job is to become, no. I now have to become the leader of a sales team. So now, you know, in my world, we can go off the shelf basically and buy selling systems. You can buy a step selling system, but now you have to go and implement that step selling system. And you have to do it yourself, word for word, slide by slide. You have to do it the way it's taught. Prove the concept, then now you go and you start to multiply yourself. Mm. And this is where a lot of people will get stuck and they cannot get past that $1 million threshold. But now once you get past that, okay, now I've brought on a couple of salespeople. Now I got to get good at marketing.
Yeah.
Because now I got to feed the leads. Well, now I got to become a good marketer. Okay. Well, if your thinking is, that, well, I don't know how to make leads, or, you know, I don't know how to do that, or you're not willing to go and learn, read a few Dan Kennedy books and learn about direct response marketing, then That's resistance. That's gonna stop you before you've even gotten started.
Mm-hmm. I think that this is a really powerful framing when you frame it more as identity versus a bunch of stuff I gotta go do.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a very specific reason this show is called Contractor Evolution. I mean, you can see it on the sign behind me. Yeah, it sounds cool, but we thought a long time about this word evolution. People need to become the contractor that you want to become. There is a necessary evolution process that happens. Yeah. And it's not just reading books and implementing systems and getting slightly better at things. It is, I am becoming a different version of myself. Adam Grant, in his book, Atomic Habits, which is very, very, very popular, a lot of you will have read it, talks about the best way of breaking or starting a habit is not through like discipline and trying to do this. It is like a mindset thing. It's like, no. If you want to quit smoking, you have to adopt the mindset. Like, I am not a smoker. Like, it's,
that's right.
You wear that outfit and it feels weird for a day or two. And then you're like, I actually kind of like this. This is who I am now. And so it's kind of a meta point. I think it's easy to like miss it, but that is a fundamentally different framing and a fundamentally different approach to growing your business and growing yourself.
Yeah. Well, and we just lost a lot of people too, because people don't want to hear that.
Right.
They don't want to hear that that's what it is. Yeah. And it's who you become. One of my favorite quotes of all time, and I use it a lot, definitely in the Profit Workshop. It's on one of the first pages of the workbook. And that is the Jim Rohn quote: become a millionaire, not for the $1 million, but for what it will make of you to achieve it.
100%.
Not the money's nice.
Yeah, sure.
The money's nice, but what you have to become in here in order to actually have $1 million is somewhat probably different than who you are right now. Now, some people will hear that and they'll think, yeah, somebody said this to me recently. Yeah, I'm going to become an asshole, or I have to become an asshole. No, you don't.
Right.
Money doesn't make, if you're an asshole now, if you have money, you'll probably be a bigger asshole. But if you're a nice person, if you're a decent family person, money's just going to make you probably a little bit better. Just give you more options. You know, it's an amplifier. Yeah. It's not going to turn you into somebody totally different. But do you know how many people are afraid of that? Mm. That like they actually think that if I make more money, I'm going to become something other people don't like. And if you're, and I can go down a rabbit hole with that one too. But what I was going to say was, bringing this back to kind of to the contractors, is they're so focused. So many of us entrepreneurs, we're just wired this way. We just want more, more, more. Let's just sell more. The more we sell, the more successful we're going to be. And what happens is they'll sell, and I'll bet you've seen this, I don't know how many times. You'll see somebody go from doing $1.5 million, making a couple $100,000, $250,000 a year, because they had a nice little business. They sold everything and, you know, they didn't have a lot of overhead. And then they'll say, well, I want to go to a $5 million business. And then they'll get there. And then they'll go to a $7 million business or an $8 million business. And guess what? They're still making the same amount of money they made way back when.
Yeah. And some of them bankrupt them. Some of them grow themselves right into bankruptcy on the way too.
Well, I did that. Yeah, I did that. But it's, why do they get stuck in that, in making that amount? Is because they didn't do the work to expand their thinking, their belief systems about themselves and about the world around them. And so to me, the most important work you can do is become a millionaire in your mind first,
right.
You know, and then the money will start to come. Nature hates a vacuum. So if you create a vacuum in your mind, what's nature going to do? And I know how this sounds. It sounds woo-woo-y and all of that. And I'm a lot older than you. And I'm going to tell you this, Benji. I have not been given, I'm 56 years old. I have not been given one piece of evidence to the contrary.
Yeah.
That this stuff does not work this way.
Me neither.
Not one piece of evidence. And yet, we will fight against it. Because we all have limitations. We all have limitations. And if that limitation is something you don't want, you know, I'm only making $150,000 a year and it's not enough. I want more. Okay, well, who are you going to become? How are you going to move yourself up into becoming the person that makes that $500,000 a year?
We are kind of backing into one of the questions or themes I wanted to talk to you about, which is getting into stuff like self-worth and deserving. Yeah. So let me set it up this way. You opened this section by really hammering the point about kind of knowing what you want and then reverse engineering it. When it's been my experience, I feel like Americans struggle with this less than Canadians, but I see it everywhere. I think this is a universal thing. When you ask people what they want, they generally just tell you what they think they deserve. They don't actually tell you what they don't actually know, because they've never actually allowed themselves to go there. Right. So
they just want more.
Before we get into this connects to how you price yourself, how you sell, how you persuade people to join your team. Like there's this impacts so many things, as we all know. But the first step in answering what do I want is almost like having the swagger to like admit, no, that I do want that. I want this. Like I'm not like so humble that I can't admit that I want to make $500,000 a year. And then after that, I want to make a million. And I actually do want to drive. I've seen you in your, I think you drive a Maserati. I actually do want to drive a Maserati. Like I do want to have a 5,000 square foot house. I'm not afraid to admit that. That's a big step for a lot of people. It truly is. So I'm wondering if you have anyone that is, you can say this to me because I've struggled with this, the self-worth, the deserving piece. Practical steps, exercises, things that people can do to go from like, well, this is what I think I deserve to like, no. This is the picture that I want.
So it's interesting. The worthiness and the deserving, because that's conditioning from when we were very young. Mm. And it's something that you have to really look at. And it's part of that self-discovery. It's part of that work that you do on yourself. You know, another great thing that Jim Rohn said is work harder on yourself than you do on your job or on your business. Working hard on your job will make you a living. Working hard on yourself will make you rich, you know, a fortune. I was looking for the right word. He calls it a fortune. And again, that means different things to different people, and it's okay. But you have to get past that worthiness and deserving of it. And again, I think that with contractors, you deserve it. As long as you're doing what you say you'll do and you come in on budget and you give people peace of mind and confidence and you come through for them, you deserve to make money, like a lot of money. But you have to come to that realization yourself. The other question was, well, what are some of the things you have to do?
Yeah.
Now, there's a list. I actually, for the workshop, I had to really think about, well, what were all of the things that I did to go from where I was, you know, my set point, to quadrupling that, to getting to where I really want it to be. And I did it in 18 months. So part of it is commitment. You got to be committed. You got to know exactly what you're going to do with the results. So again, if we're talking about money, money's kind of an easy way to do this. Okay, this is what it means for my family. And so now, does that create a burning desire in you? Does that create the hunger in you to go and do and make it happen? Mm. I say to people, I try and talk with young people about this. The other day, I was at a store and I went up to pay. And the kid that was behind the register, off to the side, I noticed that this kid had the book Think and Grow Rich.
Great.
And I got so excited. I'm like, whose book is that? He goes, that's mine. I said, oh, you're reading it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm reading it. And we had a conversation about that. And I said to him, I go, hey, look, from an old guy to a young guy, can I tell you a couple of things? And he was super open to it. There was nobody else there. So I had this full on conversation with him. And what I told him, just to simplify, because, you know, I was only there for a couple minutes, was you have to convince yourself. Whatever it takes, you have to convince yourself that you're worthy.
Right. Right.
Now, that can come from lots of different things.
Like what? Give us a few.
So I do this exercise. I teach this exercise where you write sentences over and over and over and over and over and over again that basically say, this is, you know, this is what I want. This is where I want to be. You want to take those statements, and then while you're driving in the car, a lot of people in the car waste time. They waste time. They're listening to the radio or they're listening to junk. Mm. Listen to things that are going to inspire you, that are going to motivate you. You rewire your brain through emotion and repetition. Mm. And so one of the other things you could do is, so how do you create emotion? Well, one of the easiest ways to create emotion is through music. So you find a song that inspires you. You know, you can only guess the music that I use for this, okay? So I use Rocky music because it's inspiring. It was, you know, it means something to me. It's even to this day, even though I've seen every movie, God knows how many times, I'm still
gets you fired up.
Emotionally stirred up inside, right? So I use that emotion to attach to an outcome. And then you could sit in the car and yell at yourself. Like one of the great lines is, I'm so happy and grateful now that. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make $500,000 a year now, so I'm so happy and grateful now that I'm earning $500,000 a year, $500,000 a year. Well, what if you were in your car driving from one job to another and you put on some music and you just said to yourself over and over again in the car, I'm so happy and grateful now that I'm earning 500. I'm so happy and grateful. And just like with feeling and with emotion and with like, and just do that over and over and over again. What if you did that for 5 minutes every day? What do you think would start happening inside? What do you think the automatic thinking, the automatic thoughts that are like 90 some percent the same every single day? Every single day, the same thoughts you're thinking today are the same thoughts, unless you acted upon them, same ones from last week, last month, last year, 10 years ago. Mm. People are still running the same programming. Mm-hmm. The brain is a computer. So unless you upgrade the software, you're going to get the same results. And so how do you rewire your brain? How do you overwrite the software? You got to put new stuff into it.
I think the concept of messaging is an incredibly important one and something that I've just keyed into in the last couple of years. Yeah. My own journey on this, I hate oversharing on the pod, but like I've had a rough year. I've had a few deaths. I've had some heartbreak. There's been a bunch of stuff that's just happened to me in my personal life this year. It's just been like, oh my God, when it rains, it pours. But the gift in that is that sometimes it does force you to kind of reevaluate and go back to basics and do kind of a, okay, let's start from square one here. Let's do a bit of a rebuild, an emotional, spiritual rebuild. So I've been reading Joe Dispenza, who I think I told you. This guy is like,
oh my God, I'm hearing so much about Joe Dispenza lately.
This guy's unreal. The one that I would recommend is called How to Lose Your Mind and Build a New One or Rewire a New One. It's really, really good. Anyway, one of the things that I'm finding the most effective in my life is affirmations. And this has been talked about a lot.
Yep.
I'm not inventing this, but I'm telling you guys, like I sit down in the morning and I say to myself with my own words, I say it out loud. You can picture Benji sitting in his living room with coffee being like, you're awesome. You are manifesting the life that you want. You are powerful. You are dynamic. You are charismatic. People like you. Like listen, I have to say that stuff to myself for two reasons. No one else is. And the only other voice I do hear is the one inside my head that says,
that's right.
You're Nobody watches your stuff. You don't really know what you're doing. You're too young to do this, like all that stuff. So I look at it now in a very, like, yes, it's kind of cringe. Yes, it's kind of corny. Yes, I sometimes am like, what am I doing? Like, this is so embarrassing. But I have to do it because of the result that it delivers. And the result that it delivers is the swagger I need to have the worthiness, to have the deserving, to be like, no, 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 I am that guy. And then when I am that guy, listen, I play the game a lot better. I score a lot more points. And so that's how I frame it in my mind. This isn't so much about like, ooh, make myself feel better. I want the result. And this is the precursor to that. So I don't know, just a quick little aside on affirmations.
And I'll tell you something about, and that's beautiful. And I'm glad you shared that. That's great that you did that because you're not the only one feeling that way. You're not the only one that has bad happened to them. It happens every day. One of the things I teach in the wealth attraction part of the seminar is life is not fair. There's nothing fair about life. And if you look around, you will see life is not fair.
No.
You know, and so you have to get past the idea of any fairness in the world. The other thing too is you have to look at setbacks and bad stuff that happens to you. You gotta look at it in the context of life. You're still young.
Yeah.
I look back now. One of the most probably the most tragic thing that happened was me at 40 years old with a family, a wife and two small kids having no money.
Yeah. I want you to I wanted to ask you about that. What happened? What did you learn from this whole chapter, the bankruptcy?
Oh God, a lot. I mean, like a lot, but I look back on it now today. And if somebody could wave a magic wand and say, Brian, well, I'm going to take you back to that spot when you made those stupid decisions, and I'm going to have you make different decisions, and so you don't go bankrupt, I don't think I would take them up on it.
Right.
I'd be afraid of where I'd be today because all of that stuff helped me become who I needed to become in this, whatever this, you know, in this journey. And I think that it's hard to do that when you're in it.
Yeah.
But generally, when you look back on it, you're like, that needed to happen in order for me to grow as a person. And so your attitude towards what happens in life, so there's either life happened to me or life happened for me. So if you're a to me person, it's going to be hard for you to get ahead.
Yeah.
But if you're a for me person, it's easier to get ahead because you have a much better attitude about things.
Mm-hmm. So can you?
This is a big discussion. I mean, huge. We could talk about this for hours, my friend.
I know.
And I love, by the way, I love this conversation because most people aren't having it, number one. And to me, I interview successful contractors. I surround myself. I was just telling somebody the other day, I have four or five friends right now that are worth over $100 million.
Yeah.
Okay. All self-made, started from nothing. No family help, no nothing. They started from nothing and they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
So let me ask you something about them. Can you do another five? I know you got to go soon, but can we just go a couple minutes over?
Yeah.
So these 100 mil guys, I have a question about them. What have you noticed about people? How do people stay hungry? Like it is so easy to take your foot off the gas. You get a little bit of change floating around. You get the house. Maybe a better way to frame this is you kind of make that first version of the picture that you drew. Yeah. You get the V1 of your four numbers exercise done, and then you're like, that's like I'm good. I'm done. I kind of
most
take my eye off the ball. How do you not do that?
Here's what I'll tell you. Most people that get there, they're not happy when they get there. They need the next thing. It's a flaw in us entrepreneurs.
Right.
You know? So if you get to that, I'm making $500,000 a year, all of a sudden now you're going to be like, well, wait a minute. Why aren't I making $1 million a year? So now let me go back to my four numbers exercise and say, okay, well, if I was making $1 million a year, how much could I put to my financial freedom? How much can I give? How much of a difference can I make in people's lives? How much of a difference can I make in my family's lives? Maybe I can go buy, I don't have a Maserati anymore. We used to have a Maserati. That was my wife's car.
You did.
But I've bought toy cars. I've bought fun cars, you know, those are cool to have. We have a new goal. We sold our main company a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And most people would have said, whoa, you know, you could be done for the rest of your life. And I'm not like that.
Yeah, right.
I'm not like that. And so, you know, my partner is not real happy with me. She's here, so I'm talking low. She's not real happy with me because I can't do that.
Right.
But my experience has been that most people that are driven will kind of keep
moving going. The goalposts.
They'll move the goalposts. They'll say, okay, I've gotten here and I've done well. And the important thing, though, is at that point is to build a foundation. It's not to say, oh, now all of a sudden I make all this money and now I live in a great house and I can afford the payments. No, now you want to be in a place where you're guaranteed that that money is coming in. So if you need $500,000 a year to live your life, now you got to go build $500,000 in passive income from your investments. So in order to do that, you need $10 million in the bank. Mm-hmm. So now I got to go build $10 million in investments and other assets and whatever. And so there should always be the next thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be money. It could be service. You know, okay, now I've achieved my financial goal. Now let me have a service goal. For a lot of people, they'll go and they'll do that.
What's the best way so I hear you, the goalpost moving is real. We all do it.
Yeah.
But you got to enjoy the journey too. If every single goal that you hit is hollow and then all of a sudden it's like some other much higher mountain.
The journey, you find that the journey is much more fun.
Right. So that's the idea. I'm moving the goalpost not because I need $100 million. I'm moving it because it's going to be fun to figure out how to get there.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the orientation.
A lot of people will get to the point where they just need more. I need more money. And they'll build, you know, well, I just finished reading this great book. It's called Die with Zero. And basically what the guy says is, why are you going to die with a whole bunch of money in the bank? Why don't you instead take that money and use it to really fully experience life? Yeah. I'm like, damn, that's cool. Because if you listen to financial advisors, what are they? They're going to show you these graphs and these charts, and they're going to tell you, oh, when you're 90 years old, you're going to be worth $650 million. Well, what the hell do you need $650 million for when you're 90 years old?
Totally.
You know, what are you going to do with it? Who are you going to leave it to?
Can't take any of it with you. Do something fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a great line. Those Ocean's 11's movie, Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13. I can't remember the character. He's the old guy. And there's this great quote that he says. He goes, he's like, you know, when I die, I want my last check to bounce.
Exactly.
And I just think that's like such a great quotable moment.
Yeah.
So anyway, what are the things, just let's close here. What other things, when you look at the super high performers that you get the fortune to work with, what do you notice about them that they do differently when it comes to their mindset and their attitude?
Implementation. Quick. They implement fast.
Right.
They make they're not afraid to make mistakes. One of the things that Profit, one of these guys, says all the time, he goes, Profit, having excess profits, doing really, really well with, you know, in profitability, 15 to 20% allows you to make mistakes. Mm. The mistakes will not be catastrophic. It's just a line item on your P&L.
Totally.
Okay, I tried that. It didn't work. I learned something. Now I went and did something else. That's one of the really critical things about having good profit margins is your ability to test and make mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and then move on. Implementation is really key. And it's working on who you are as a person, who you are as a leader. All of these people are great leaders. They're very inspiring, but they also know what they're good at and what they're not good at. And so what they do is they surround themselves with people that are really good at all of the things that One of them said, I don't get a lot. How do you say it? I don't get a lot of stuff done. I get a lot of people around me to get a lot of stuff done.
100%. You're an orchestrator.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're an orchestrator, exactly. Not a doer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you have to have a vision and you have to have an exciting vision, and the vision can't be only about money. Mm-hmm. You know, that internally is what might drive you, but that doesn't drive a company.
It sure doesn't. Our friend, I'm sure you've crossed paths with him at some point, but our friend Tommy Mello always says you have to have a dream big enough that everyone fits inside it. And yeah, I just think that's a great line.
Yeah, that is a good line.
So many quotable moments today. You got a jet, so do we. We'll do a part three at some point. I love this conversation, man. I love what you guys are up to. By the way, we're going to do links to like Profit Workshops, Brian's stuff below if you want to learn more about him, you can. And then that four numbers exercise will be in the description too. Brian, thank you for your time today, man. You're the best.
Thank you, Benji. Yeah. Always fun to be with you.
Take care. Thanks a lot for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our channel, consider sharing this episode with another contractor who you think needs to hear it.